A few quick announcements, and they're very easy. Acts 2:42 is on a short break. Women's Bible study is on a short break. Men's Bible study is on a summer break. While we're having those break times, the times we would normally have at Acts 2:42, I pray that you set aside an hour or so when the women's Bible study would have been. Set aside a little bit of time to be with the Lord, just as you would have been normally. And just like on men's Bible study, take a little bit of time on Saturday morning and spend some time in worship and in prayer. Make it something specific, but something where you're seeking the face of God during those times. Because even though we're on break, we're not on break from serving and loving Jesus. He is our God all the time. He doesn't take a break, which is great because we always need help. Also, there's one other quick message I wanted to make sure I shared before I jump into the Word. We heard last week that Slavic Christian Ministries is helping to rebuild one of the churches that was destroyed in a drone attack a few weeks ago. So if you want to donate, you can do that. You can make out your check, and in the memo column, just write Slavic Christian Ministries, and then we'll make sure that it gets to them so they can send a larger one-time gift from our congregation to help them in that time of need. And hopefully they can get back to having their services in a building so they can get together and fellowship and worship our God, who is truly good, even during this difficult time of their church being destroyed. And yet the church isn't the building. The church is the people. And they're resilient. They've taken out almost everything out of the inside, and they're working on trying to get the roof rebuilt, and so they can have covering, so they can once again get into to worship God with one another. And we just pray that the Lord would continue to move in the church, and that the ministries would still be done there. The feeding of a lot of the widows and the orphans that goes on through that church. Being that it's been war-torn for so long in that area, we just pray that the Lord would minister peace and love and joy to those. Tonight we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to do verses 1 through 10, roughly. And I'm just so glad I have this opportunity to be here. So thank you for that, and thank you, Tony, for allowing me this opportunity. We pray that Tony and Deb and the rest of the family get a chance to be renewed and strengthened, during their time of vacation and a time of renewal. So I pray that that would really happen for them as well. So I am thankful. Lord, let's open up this evening. We open it up to you, Heavenly Father. We want your words to be spoken. We want your Spirit to move. We want people to seek your face, to turn from their sin, to repent, and to be saved. We want to be encouraged that we can be a light to the world as we walk out of this place. For there's no better place to be than at your feet, Heavenly Father. And to be at your feet means we need to turn away from our sins and seek your face. Lord, you're a holy and just God, and you are going to return. Just as you came as a child and died upon the cross and rose again, you're going to come back to bring us home to be with you. We look forward to that time, and it shouldn't be a time of fear of judgment because we've done wrong. It shouldn't be a time when we don't know if we're right with you. For salvation isn't done through what we do. Salvation was paid for by what you did upon the cross, by the blood that was shed, and then the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We put our belief in him, and that is our salvation. And help us to seek his face, and help us to learn from him tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. When I started to think about what to preach on, I started to think about what my childhood was like. I was raised in a denominational church where they had words about God, and they had there's ceremonies and there are different things that went on. And they talked about Jesus, but they didn't really know who he was. And they weren't teaching me to have a relationship with that God. What I understood from the denomination was that God is up there and I'm down here. I just do my thing, he does his thing, and one day he'll come back, and if we're good enough, we'll get to be with him. That's not how the Bible says that that goes. But that's kind of the things that I learned. And a lot of these came from my father because we were in the Lutheran church at that time, because he was raised in a Baptist church. And he had really had enough of the whole hellfire and brimstone teachings. He says there's got to be more to life than being afraid of God in heaven and being afraid of going to hell. There should be something more about God. So he was drawn to the grace of God. And that's why he was drawn more to the Lutheran church, because they were believing and they were teaching that we are saved by grace through faith. But it's not just a one-time thing on a Sunday. It's not just, you know, I know God's in heaven and I know he'll take care of things. It's really believing in Jesus as being the Son of God. And Jesus is the only way for salvation, that we can't earn it by what we do. Those are the things I didn't understand. And when I was young, when I was about 16 or 17, I had a dream or a vision or whatever you want to call it. The Lord spoke to me and basically said, it's time for you to go. And I said, I don't think I'm ready to go. I'm not prepared. It's not Sunday. I'm living in sin during the week. I'm not ready to go. Please don't take me now. Give me an opportunity. Give me a chance to know you. Give me a chance to do what I'm supposed to do in this world. And that's what opened up a lot of opportunities for me. But there was fear in my heart at that time. But that's what drew me to the message of Jesus Christ being my Savior. And that he was the one who did the work, not me. And it wasn't that I had to be good enough, because I was never going to be good enough to get to heaven. There wasn't anything that I could do to be good enough. Could I be an acolyte and go light up the candles before church? I could probably do that. But did that mean I lived a holy life the whole week? No. Did that mean I had enough to get to heaven? Well, I might have more than somebody else sitting in the other pew, but all of it falls short of true holiness of God. There wasn't anything for me to hold my hat on. So I was struggling at those times, but that's when the Lord got a hold of me. That's when I started hearing about Jesus. Not Jesus being up there, but Jesus can be in my heart. And that Jesus' salvation is by what he did and his blood that he shed, because he loved me. And when I understand that God loved me, even though I wasn't that good, and that that was the way of true salvation, and that way when he did come back, it wasn't because of what I did, because of what he did, I get to go to heaven and I get to be with him. And that relieved a lot of my fears. But that brings me to this passage here, because it talks about that grace and it talks about the love that God has for us. In Ephesians 2, it starts off, "And you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." And that is so true. The course of this world is sin. You can look at television, you can look at your video games, you can look at almost anything, and you can see that the world is not walking toward Jesus. You can see that it's walking away from God. And it goes on further to say, "It's according to the prince and the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." And that's pretty strong. The sons of disobedience. It's not saying that, you know, we can just follow the world and it's just, oh, you know, it's just mamby-pamby, it's just okay. there's nothing okay about it. He says they are sons of disobedience. Because if they're not following after Jesus and we're not giving him glory and praise, we're listening to somebody who's different. Somebody who's not our Savior. Among them, we too were what we formerly lived, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of our flesh and our mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of the world, seeking after money or fame or prestige or cars or anything fancy like that. Or even just a passing grade so we can get through school because it's such a pain in the rear. You know, there's so many different ways that we look at the world when we're of the world. And I love this part. And you can circle it, underline it, whatever you want. But God. When we were in all those things, but God. Being rich in his mercy because of his great love which he has loved us. Even we were dead in our transgressions, has made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive. He created us for a reason and a purpose. And that reason and purpose is to love him and to receive the love he has for us. It's for by grace we have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God reached out to us when we didn't deserve it, by his mercy. Because as a just and holy God, he could say, you're not righteous, you're sons of disobedience. You deserve hell, and I'll give you what you deserve. But he's saying, you're my children. I have grace, I have mercy through my son Jesus. I can lift you up and put you in that place. Not because of what you do, but because of who you believe in. Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? Or do you just acknowledge him as being a God up in heaven somewhere? Or is he a God, your God, in your heart? Has he changed your life? Do you enjoy being in his presence? Do you enjoy seeing his face? Is it something you really seek? This is the favorite verse out of this whole passage. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Not as a result of works that no one can boast. No one is, I'm not better than my grandson sitting in the back pew. I'm not better than any one of us here. I have an opportunity to be up here, but it's only because of the grace of God. Because you have that same grace. God loves you the same. He has the same heaven prepared for you that he does for me. So if you want to walk on the streets of heaven, if you want to walk and be with Jesus, if you want to be forgiven from your sins, trust in him, believe him, and allow this grace and this mercy to fill you up. Because it's not by the things that we do, not of works, that any of us can boast and say, I'm better than so-and-so. Paul says, I'm the chief of all sinners. I consider him one of the best men that ever lived. And yet he knew that his position in God was one sin is one sin too many to get into heaven. But a million sins or one sin, God's blood can cover it all so that we can walk with Jesus, so that we can talk with him, so that we don't have to be judged and sent where we don't want to go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we're created for what? Good works. God has created us for good works. Not that our works save us, but our works show our faith in others. And God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God prepared these before we were formed in our mother's wombs, before we were born, before you met your husband or your wife, before you met your friends, before you became a child to your mother or your father. God prepared these things beforehand. God is good. God is great, and God is merciful. But our God just doesn't sit in heaven. He came down as a man, and that man is Jesus. There are no works that we can do to save us. But faith in Jesus is all you need. The second thief upon the cross. Is there any works that he did in his life that could get him to heaven? His works as a thief got him nailed to a cross. But by God's mercy, that thief, all he had to say was, "Remember me when you're in paradise. Remember me when you get into your kingdom." He recognized Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He believed on Jesus and that Jesus was the Son of God and there is salvation in no one else. That's what he believed. There is nothing else. And Jesus answered him very simply and very plainly, saying, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Just as the thief recognized Jesus as Lord and asked him to remember him when you get into your kingdom, he recognized those things. And his belief in Jesus as the Son of God and that his blood would be what covered him, that's what got him to heaven, not by any works that he ever did. It's by the work that was done by Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. "And there is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." There is no other name. There is no work. There is nothing that can save you except by the name of Jesus. There is no other. It's not by the works of any other denomination. You can't work your way to heaven, and you can't work your way out of purgatory. You're either walking with God and he's giving you a place in heaven, or he's not. There isn't any in-between ground. There's no gray area. You're his child and he has prepared a place for you, or you are not and he has another place prepared. Romans 10:13. "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Is anyone not good enough to be saved? Anyone. We can think of the worst people in the world and people we might not even want to be saved. But is there anyone who cannot? It says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." It doesn't have any caveats. It has no ways out of that. Whoever. So the prisons could be emptied. All they need to do is give their lives to Jesus and believe on the name of the Lord, and they will be saved. I think everyone here knows that Jesus is the Son of God. But do you believe he is your God? And do you believe he is your Savior? If you don't know those things, today is the day of salvation. Do not wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow is never guaranteed. Yeah, I wasn't prepared to do this whole dangling by a thread over the pit of hell like William Blake did. But at the same point, we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. We have today to make a decision to love him or to not. To allow his love and his grace to fill our hearts with his love and his kindness. James 2, also has something to say on this issue. James 2, 14 through 18. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? That might be contradictory to what we just read. Can that faith save him? Or if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, sitting in front of the Walmart, them and their kids saying that they need food, what are we going to do? And one of you just walks by them and says, go in peace, just be warm and be filled. Praise God. And yet you don't give them anything. What is necessary for their body, and what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But if someone may well say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you look at my life, there might be a few things that you'd say. My works might show that I love God. There might be some things where you say, I don't know if that man knows anything about God, because I fall short. I need to repent of my sins from time to time, because I am not Jesus, but I am his child. And I am the one who calls upon his name, and I am saved through him. And I want to do those works. And that's what we need to ask the Lord for, is, Lord, what works can I do today to show people my faith, so I can be a light into the world, draw other people unto you so they can be saved by this same grace that we've just read about in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I can't always say that fear I had as a 16-year-old kid doesn't rear its head with me from time to time. But I do have a blessed assurance. That beautiful hymn. I do know that God has saved me. And I do know that he has a place for me in a heavenly home. Do you know that tonight for yourself? Do your children know that? Do your brothers and sisters know that? Are we going to mention it to them? Or are we going to be afraid of what they might think about us? Are we going to fear the world? We don't fear the world when we're walking in disobedience, as the sons of disobedience, following our lusts and, you know, our flesh. We don't tend to worry about what the world thinks about us then. So why should we think about that now? Our God is good. Our God wants to save. Our God does not want to destroy. That's why God sent his son Jesus. For in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that, once again, that word, whosoever would believe should not perish but have eternal life. That's how much God loved us. That's how much he cares for us. In John 15, it also talks about that kind of a love. It talks about that love that reaches to a brother in need. A man who would lay down his life for his brother. John 15:13. Some people will, some people won't. Because sometimes for a good man, you might. But, you know, would you lay your life down? God did. And God didn't do it just for a good man. He did it for me when I was a bad man. He did it when I was far away from him. He doesn't want you to be far from him. He wants you to come close. He wants you to be in fellowship with him. He wants you to receive that grace, for you've been saved by grace through faith in him, not in what I do, not in what I show anybody else, But how I live should show others what my faith is. I think this is a good time for reflection, being it's a night of communion. It's a look at our life. Not are my works good enough, but am I a child of the King? Have I received the grace and the love which He has offered? Are you in relationship with Him? And are you walking? Are there things that we need to repent of this evening? If there are, the Lord would love us to come into communion with one another by first coming into repentance, bowing our knee, saying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being so harsh, the unkind words that I've spoken. Forgive me for not being a witness when I could have been. Help me not to be fulfilling my flesh and its lusts, but help me fulfill what God wants me to do, which is to walk with Him and talk with Him. Those are the things that we need to walk with to be able to understand that we're not living by the lusts of our flesh, but we are redeemed. We are washed clean. When we ask God to forgive us, He does. And when we take communion in remembrance of Him, what are we thinking about? Are we thinking about what we're going to have for dinner? Are we going to think about who's going to win the next basketball game in the finals this week? Are we thinking about a loved one who doesn't know Jesus, who might be on their deathbed? Are we thinking about a relative or a family member who doesn't know the Lord? We have the opportunity to at least do something. And He wants us to. He said, pray. And all things by prayer and supplication, bring them unto me. Some people say, just pray. Praying is more than just. Praying is giving it over to God and allowing His will to be done. That'll change our hearts and lives, and it'll change the lives of those that we are praying for. That'll be another study that I get to do at another time, talking about prayer, but that's it is so important that we pray for those that we care about and that we love. And also to reach out to them and share when we can and not be afraid of any consequences. Because there's consequences for our actions, just like there will be consequences for their actions if they don't understand that Jesus is the only way for salvation and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. If our friends and our family don't know those things, there are consequences. As a 16-year-old, there is a hell. But God does not want to send anybody there. He did everything He can to keep you away from there. He sent His Son Jesus to die upon the cross. And just think of all the scourgings that he had as well. And the sufferings that He had for us. And if we're, say, have some troubles because we share that Jesus loves somebody, that's okay. Because the world hated Jesus as well. And it said we would be hated. But it's so much better if we at least give somebody the opportunity to accept or reject than to wonder if they're going to be saved or not. God's grace is good. But God wants us to be those workers. Let's show our faith by our works. Tonight we will have communion. And that's in this time of study. And let's prepare our hearts for communion. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share Your word tonight. And I pray that it would be more than just listening to Your word, but I pray that it would be soaking into our hearts. Lord, that we don't do what we should, and we do the things that we shouldn't, but we have a God who is a bigger and better than all those things. We have a God who's loved us and who's shown us his mercy, his grace. He's shown us salvation comes only in the name of Jesus. But that is all that we need. And that's all we need to share with somebody to bring them into the kingdom so that we can walk the streets of heaven with them as well. Lord, as we come to this time of communion, let's remember the sacrifice that you did suffer, Heavenly Father. Help us to remember the things that you did so that we could become your children. You created us and you want us to walk with you. Lord, let's let us give our lives to you. And may you fill our hearts and help us to be your children. And may the works that we do show our faith in you, and not just our lust for the flesh of this world. Help us to be changed. Help us to be committed to be more like you. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.